This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 361, up a quarter. July corn, 364 and a half, down a quarter. September corn, 371 and three quarters, down three quarters. May soybeans, 977 and a half, up four and a half. July soybeans, 977 and a quarter, up four and a quarter. August soybeans, 971 and a half, up three. May wheat, 471 and a half, up one and a quarter. July wheat, 476 and a quarter, up three. September wheat, 485 and three quarters, up three and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Tuesday afternoon, with soybeans getting a boost from a substantial new crop sale to an unknown destination. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly steady at $3.39 to $3.58, with soybean bids up 4 cents at $9.47 to $9.67. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at $3.35 to $3.61, while soybean bids were up 5 cents at $9.59 to $9.78. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were unchanged at $3.49 to $3.66, soybean bids up 4 to 5 cents at $9.65 to $9.83, and the wheat bids were 2 to 5 cents higher at $3.85 to $4.34. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 5 higher at $9.93 to $10 even, with basis unchanged to as much as a penny lower, ranging from 15 to 22 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $3.23.70 to $3.43.70 per ton, up $3.60, with basis steady ranging from 5 to 25 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady to a penny higher at $3.62 to $3.75, with basis steady to a penny higher at 1 to 14 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 2 higher at $3.64 to $3.68, basis up 1 to 2 at 3 to 7 over the May. Soybeans ended up 5 to 10 cents at $9.84 to $9.91, with basis steady to as much as 5 cents higher at 6 to 13 over the May. And new crop wheat prices on Tuesday 2 to 3 higher at $4.55 to $4.58, with basis steady to a penny lower at 21 under to 18 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at $3.84 to $3.85. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 5 to 6 cents with quotations at $10.07 to $10.08. Soft wheat up 2 at $4.72 to $4.74, and the Milo ended mostly steady at $4.21 to $4.27. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.42 to $3.58. New crop soybean bids at $8.99 to $9.29. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.38 to $3.55. New crop soybean bids at $9.11 to $9.28. And in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, new crop corn bids range from $3.40 to $3.57. New crop soybean bids at $9.05 to $9.30. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from $4.39 up to $4.64. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 161, up 52 cents. June live cattle, 151.12, up 85 cents. August live cattle, 148.80, up 45 cents. April feeder cattle, 215.97, up $1.07. May feeder cattle, 212.35, up 95 cents. August live cattle, 213.87, up 70 cents. May lean hogs, 73.75, up $1.47. June lean hogs, 79.90, up 50 cents. July lean hogs, 81.20, up 47 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday, the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.31 higher, in a range of $58 to $70, with a weighted average carcass price of $66.91. From the Illinois Direct Hog Report, slaughter sows are trading $2 lower. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weight at $22 to $28, 5 to 6 weight at $25 to $29, and over 600 pounds, $28 to $30. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gelts country buying points are trading a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $42 to $46. Receipts for Illinois hogs this afternoon have totaled 11,648. The opening report from United Producers at Shelbyville had estimated receipts of 303. Steers and heifers are steady to 50 cents higher. Holstein steers are 50 cents lower. Slaughter steers choice at 159 to 167. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at 149 to 154. Slaughter heifers choice at 159 to 166.50. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 437 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 7102, which was 16 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading steady to higher. Choice carcasses were $257.72, which was 83 cents higher, with select carcasses at $247.98, which was steady. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 115,000 compared to 110,000 last week and 121,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 429,000 compared to 432,000 last week and 415,000 one year ago. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear an overview of how the grain and livestock markets are looking this week. That's coming up after this. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. He says pretty much the only place good news can be found this week is in the soybean markets.
Well, we're looking at a market that's fighting a lot of bearish tendencies. We've seen corn prices plummet. We've seen wheat prices make new contract lows, while corn makes new six-month lows. Soybeans have been trying to hang on. Very tight cash supplies are causing the processors to push the bids upward, and that's providing some near-term support. We've also seen a little bit of export business come in. Another big sale to unknown destinations of new crop soybeans announced to start the day today. But overall, this is a market that's fighting bearish tendencies, although getting a little bit of a lift now from the dollar breaking to one-month lows.
The strong dollar has been hindering our export markets, and although Suderman says we're currently seeing a dip in the strength of the dollar, he expects it to continue its upward climb a bit longer.
It went up to 12-year highs in March, and now is coming back off of those highs. So we've seen some money start to very cautiously flow back into the broader commodity sector. So far, the funds, the speculative hedge funds, have shown that they are quite comfortable holding large short or sold positions in corn and in wheat, and even at times in soybeans as well. But if we can get a more substantial break in the dollar, which long term I'm still bullish the dollar and think it has more upside to go, been waiting for a larger correction lower after its long run up over the past 7 or 8 months. If we can get a more sustained correction lower, then I think we can see a little bit more money coming in and maybe give us a springtime rally to catch up with sales.
With a strong U.S. dollar, countries can get grain exports from South America at a cheaper price, and Suderman says favorable weather conditions for harvest and safrina corn mean they will have the supply to meet many export needs, even with trucker strikes still occurring in Brazil.
Argentina keeps pushing its production estimates higher, beating last year's record high production for soybeans by 10% or more, it looks like. And a similar type of situation in Brazil. So pretty tough for the bulls to find something to argue for higher prices in South America right now. As far as the trucker strike goes in Brazil, we saw two major federal highways that had four blockages on them yesterday. At the peak of the strike that started on Thursday, I think we've seen 17 blockages, maybe 20 blockages, but nothing like what we saw in February, and for the most part, we're seeing the soybeans move to port.
Meanwhile, Suderman expects planting in the Midwest to be in full swing this week as favorable weather conditions roll in.
We'll see some showers return to the Midwest early next week, but the more significant rains don't come until late next week. So it looks like we should get some significant planting done during this week. The record in acres planted in 1 week set a couple years back at 41 million acres. I don't know whether it'll be that type of week yet or not, but we should see substantial planting progress this week, and that'll likely just kind of add to the bearish tone for the corn market. Although with a big crop report coming up on May the 12th, as large as short positions as we've seen this market, perhaps traders will start becoming uncomfortable with that, start covering that some of those short positions together with maybe a lower dollar and give us a little bit more of a bounce in here in this market.
While farmers are planting, the wheat crop is continuing to mature. A generally good crop can be seen in Illinois, but for many of the main wheat-producing states, wheat condition is continuing to deteriorate.
Decent crop overall in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and for that we're grateful considering the winter it went through and the difficulty in getting it in the ground last fall. Not the case in the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, particularly in the central plains is where the greatest amount of problems are, all the way from Kansas, even north into South Dakota. Some continued problems and deterioration there, first with winter kill, then the drought. Although the drought's been there all winter, the drought became much more significant this spring. The rains have started to come now, maybe a little bit too late, and now stripe rust is prominent in areas of Kansas. Stripe rust can be devastating to yields, but many farmers telling me that the yield potential is so low and the price is so low that they probably won't treat. So we're continuing to cut into the hard red winter wheat yields in the central plains. So far, traders really haven't cared too much because we've had trouble selling it on the export market, or they were simply overpriced on the global market.
Traders currently don't seem too concerned about the condition of the wheat crop. Suderman says this is partly due to global supplies.
Global supplies of wheat in terms of days of supply are probably pretty close to the middle of that range of the extremes of being an overabundance of supplies or running short. So we're right kind of in the middle. That means that traders have a choice whether to see the glass as half full or half empty. But in a period of deflationary prices, when they're moving money out of the commodities, want to be short the commodities, they're going to see that as half full. If we'd get a big break in the dollar, maybe get some export demand, and I think they would start seeing the glasses half empty. But for now, it's been bearish, and that's why we've seen prices make new contract lows. I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see a short covering rally in wheat sometime over the next 2 weeks. With the Wheat Quality Council tour of the hard red winter wheat belt coming up next week, and USDA's big production estimates and crop report the following week, traders getting nervous with the size of their short positions in the wheat market, but that rallies will be seen as opportunities to sell unless something changes in the fundamentals.
As farmers stare down what looks to be a very bearish year, Suderman has this to say.
Oftentimes when things are most bearish, that's when the market finds a reason to go the other way. So we're watching for those clues at all times. But if we have a good growing season this year, I think we need to keep in mind that when the market does rally, we need to take advantage of those opportunities. And thus far, weather forecasters not seeing any significant threats on the horizon.
Suderman also gave an update on how the livestock markets are looking.
Well, we started off the week with the cattle market selling off following a bearish cattle on feed report on Friday. I say bearish because it was probably less bullish than expected. The trade was looking for the cattle on feed report to show that March placements were down about 5.5% from year-ago levels, but instead they were pretty equal with year-ago levels. And what we saw was a pattern of a lot of heavyweight cattle. About 40% of the placements were over 800 pounds, meaning that with the lush pasture we're seeing this spring, that we're keeping the cattle on the pasture longer, putting them on more weight, trying to pull down those break-evens before putting them into the feedlot. And that's probably the pattern we're going to see for a while. But while we pushed the prices lower on Monday, we found good support underneath the market. The futures are already at a big discount to cash, and the packers are still having trouble finding enough cattle to slaughter, and we're seeing some good demand news. So as we go into Tuesday, we're seeing prices rebound again. And basically what the cattle on feed report is saying, hold back on the bullish euphoria But we still have some fairly supportive fundamentals. Just keeps the emotions in check, but this market is well supported for now.
After seeing some of the lowest cattle numbers in recent decades, many are looking for signs that the U.S. cattle herd is growing. So far, the signals are mixed.
I'm hearing reports that we're seeing an increase in heifer retention, which would mean trying to rebuild that cow herd. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that confirmed at the sale barn. We're seeing overall prices at the sale barn for lightweight cattle continue to drop. The rumor had been, with heifers being held back, that we're going to tighten supplies of feeder cattle and therefore push feeder cattle prices higher. While we occasionally have higher days for the feeder cattle prices, overall we're still trending lower. So we're not seeing that confirmation yet of that. And cow-calf men are still having to make that tough decision, hold the heifer back or take the good money being offered now.
In the hog markets, supply and demand were at odds for a period of time, but some balance seems to be returning.
Well, the cold storage report that we saw a little over a week ago definitely showing that we have started to bring supply and demand into better balance. Yes, the supply is big, but demand is improving and strengthening overall, and using up that supply. We're no longer building up supplies in the freezer. We're actually started to pull them down a little bit in the month of April, and there's some sense that this avian flu problem is going to get so bad that, yes, it would hurt exports, but in hurting exports, it might increase export demand for hams and other pork products, and actually could become such a problem over the next few years that it would remove some competition from the cheaper alternative meat supply. And so we're seeing a little bit more optimism now. The charts are looking a little bit more friendly. I think we'll continue to be quite choppy and have some big swings in prices, but overall, near term, see the prices continuing to slowly trend higher as this market tries to maintain a balance between supply and demand.
Of course, one of the biggest news items in the livestock market is the continued spread of the H5N2 avian influenza. Suderman says the poultry industry is hoping to see the number of outbreaks dwindle with warmer weather.
It is continuing to spread. In fact, we're seeing more reports coming out of Iowa, another 5 flocks impacted this week that have been reported so far, impacting 6 million birds. So we're continuing to see a spreading of avian flu. We thought that it would have started to slow by now as temperatures warm up, and ultimately we're expecting the number of cases to drop dramatically this summer, but then return again as temperatures cool in the fall.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.